thank you. We praise you. We glorify you for the privilege and the honor and the opportunity to receive from heaven tonight. Thank you for helping us to receive from your holy written word. We thank you that your word is powerful. The entrance of your word gives and brings light to us and gives us understanding in a very simplistic way. Thank you, Father God, for the illumination and the insight and in the instruction of the Holy Spirit, who will unveil and unfold the word of God unto our spirits. And we give you all the praise and all the credit and all of the honor and all of the glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name, that most precious name, that we pray and say, amen, amen. Well, if you're joining us for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome to Triumph Word Christian Center. Let us know if you're on for the first time, and let us know where you're watching from. If you're on repeatedly, we'd love for our friends and our fans to check in and tell us, hey, where you're watching from? Who is it that's watching? Go ahead and just put that in the remarks or comment sections. Let us know you're there, you're out there alive. And, of course, if you want to connect with us a little further, you can connect with us by email. We respond to that. Connect at Triumph TWCC, what stands for Triumph Word Christian Center, TWCC-SA.org. I think it's on the screen for you, so you can look at it. And or by text. You can text us if you want to at 210-941-3322. And hey, if you want to get involved, and we believe in radical generosity, so if you want to be involved in giving, and we're going to sow some spiritual things to you, and we believe that you can respond with natural things, financial things, and so we have an easy, convenient, and secure way you can give online. And so you can give online by text. You can text the dollar amount to the number on your screen. It's 210-941-1605. Or you can go to the website, www.twcc-sa.org, and then it's a /give, and you can go down there and give easy, convenient, a couple clicks, put your information in there. We'd love for you to partner with us and join in with our quest in radical generosity, and the Bible even says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we'd love for you to partner with us in the work of the gospel and to keep our local church going strong, both spiritually and financially. And we just thank you for your partnership, and we thank you for your generosity. So do whatever the Lord tells you to do, doesn't matter the amount, just be a blessing, and we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Let's get right into the word. So we're going to go right into our teaching tonight with a quick review. We've been talking about that from Sunday, if you've been with us, that we've been redeemed with precious blood. And so we've been kind of emphasizing the cross and the power of the blood. Monday night we talked about the blood of Jesus and our blood covenant. And so we want to give you, again, a brief review. As you see this chart here I have right next to me, it kind of outlines some benefits of the blood. And it's always good to refresh ourselves on the things that are beneficial to us as born again, blood washed Christian believers and Christ followers. And if you're not a born again, blood washed Christian believer and Christ follower, I want you to pray a prayer at the end of this session with us and make sure that you're washed in the blood. You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You're saved. You're born again. You're a child of God, and that you're a Christ follower. So let's go through this chart. I'm going to try to navigate to the other side of it and kind of go through it a little bit. So here on this chart, we see the benefits, and this is just an encapsulation that we all need to understand and embrace as a brief review of what does it benefit. Pastor Ed, you've been talking about the blood, and what am I supposed to do with the blood? Well, does it benefit me? How does it affect me? Well, as we said Sunday, we're redeemed with precious blood. And then we said also Wednesday night that the blood of Jesus and the blood covenant we had is sealed, ratified, and made firm by the blood of Jesus. And so first of all is power. Power, the power of redemption, and forgiveness. So we receive power of redemption and forgiveness. Now, Ephesians 1:7 tells in him, in Christ, that we are redeemed. We have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. So we've been redeemed in Christ by his blood, through his blood, and the forgiveness of our sin. That's very powerful, because we often sing that song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the what? Blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And he can remove all our crimson stains, the stain of sin. Sin makes a stain in our life. It separates us from God in our life, and we need power, a supernatural power, and that comes through the blood of Jesus to bring us back. Now, the second one is it makes peace with God. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's been a peace between God and man. Now, before this was a word, a fancy word called enmity. Enmity means a hostility or an adversity between God and man. There was a separation. There was a void. There was a vacuum that needed to be filled. There was a bridge that needed to be mended between God and humanity. And what did it was the blood. What brought peace and tranquility to God was the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we can approach God and come to God in peace. Now, number three, it gives bold access into the presence of God. Hebrews 10:19 tells us that we have boldness to enter by the blood, to enter into the holiest of all. So it gives us a boldness to go straight into heaven by the blood. So we not only say that we're blood washed, but we're blood blessed, but we're also blood bold. In other words, we can go with a freedom of speech, and we can have fearlessness. That's what boldness means. We can have full confidence and fearlessness, no fear, to go into God's presence. That means we can come into the holiest of all. Back in the Old Testament, they couldn't go but once a year under the Old Covenant. And that was the high priest by himself with an animal sacrifice of blood for his own sins and the sins of the people. And he could go once a year. Now, he might die in it. So he was afraid going in. He was a reverential fear. Here, because of the blood of Jesus, we can go into the holiest of all. Right into the presence of God with full confidence and fearlessness. That means we can walk right up to our Father God without any sense of fear, guilt, condemnation, or inferiority or shame. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So the blood gives us bold access into the presence of God. Now, number four, it tells us it provides protection against sin, its forms, and its manifestations, and against Satan's accusations. So we see, and we'll examine it a little bit more tonight, in 1 John 1:7, we see this phrase that when we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about tonight. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, New King James says, from all sins. Amplified says, it's all sins, its forms and manifestations. That means stuff we don't even know is trying to come up against us. Now, remember, you got to understand sin is a big deal, because sin separates us from God. And it breaks fellowship, not necessarily relationship, but it breaks fellowship with God. And so we have to always remember that there is the power to sin, there is the presence of sin around us, and unfortunately there's a penalty to sin. And the penalty of sin, as Romans says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome the accuser of the brethren. We overcome Satan by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Praise God. And so that protects us. It provides a barrier where sin can't get a hold of us and Satan can't accuse us to a point to where we are afraid to even ask God for anything. All right. And then number five, it is able to purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood of Jesus. Now, we said the word blood, purge, excuse me, is the word cleanse. And it also means this. It means it carries off, it separates out, it carries off anything in us that's foreign, that doesn't belong there, superfluous, or anything that brings moral defilement. And so we can get purged by the blood. That means there's nothing in us that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in us that the blood can't cure. There's nothing that tries to get in us, or perhaps does get in us, that the blood can't carry away and carry off because it doesn't belong there. Praise the Lord. All right. So that purge, and then the sixth one, it said it ratifies, establishes, makes valid, what? All of the promises of the new covenant or the New Testament, same word, the New Testament or New Covenant that we're all under because of the blood. It ratifies and establishes it personally for you. Like the Bible tells us, all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. So be it to the glory of God. In other words, Jesus was partaking of the bread and the cup during what we call the Last Supper, and he told the disciples, this is my body, which was broken for you. And we took communion on Sunday and demonstrated. And he said, This cup is the New Testament or New Covenant, more accurately said, in my blood. Now, what was he saying? This is the covenant that's been ratified. It's been established. It's made firm. It's been activated. It is validated for you in my blood. Amen. So you don't have to go around wondering and wishing, well, I wonder if God will bless me with healing. Healing belongs to you because of the blood, because the promises of healing have been paid for and provided for. Praise God. I wonder if you would give me family peace or give me salvation of my house. Well, those promises have been provided for and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's been a promise sealed in blood that's for you, not against us, for us. Now, last one, it perfects and completes us through Christ. So through the blood of the eternal covenant, the God of peace sanctifies us, perfects us, makes us what we ought to be. I mean, that's enough to sit and watch this broadcast and shout about it. Somebody shout hallelujah. So everybody say, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Now let's get into our teaching tonight, because we want to give you more equipping, more ammunition, more substance on this precious blood of Jesus. Why is it precious? Because it's valuable. It's very worthy. It's what made the Lamb of God worthy to open the seals, the one who's worthy to be praised, hallelujah, and adored. And so this is God's precious provision for power for us as believers. Now let's start off with Revelation chapter 12:11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So it's a dynamic truth that in life, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's said, stated clearly in Leviticus 17:11. But this is true of spiritual life as well as natural life. In the blood, if the blood ceases to flow, for example, if you cut your hand off, now the blood can't flow to that hand because it's cut off, accident or intentionally. If you cut, the blood ceases to flow. Naturally speaking, what happens to this hand? It atrophies. Just a fancy term that means it rottens, it worsens, it decays, it ruins, it dies. So naturally speaking, any organ in our body, that part of the body will die. We all have heard or may have witnessed for ourselves personally or family members that are close to us that, you know, a body part has low, what they call, blood circulation. Hello, somebody, we can all relate to that, right? Your feet have low blood circulation. What happens? Their feet start hurting, and they start atrophying in their feet. And soon, because of deadness going on, that body part may have to be amputated or cut off because it's dying or it's dead. Now, I want you to keep that analogy in mind as we teach tonight. So your physical body has about 5.6 liters or 6 quarts of blood, approximately. This 5.6 liters of blood circulates through your whole body, listen to this, 3 times every minute. 3 times every minute. Every 60 seconds, every blood cell has circulated through your whole body 3 times on average. Okay? In one day, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the blood travels a total of 19,000 kilometers or 12,000 miles. That's 4 times the distance from the West Coast to the East Coast. So you can say from California to Florida, from Washington to New York or Maine. It's 4 times that distance that the blood circulates through your body the whole entire day. So your blood is always moving. We can say it's always flowing. Now, on average, it takes about 45 seconds for the blood to circulate from heart all around the body and back to the heart again. On average, an adult's heart beats more than 100,000 times a day. Now let's take it to the spiritual. Spiritually, no one can see heaven or experience redemption, redemptive realities, or the new birth without the blood of the sacrifice. We need the blood spiritually. Now, 1 Peter 1:18-19 tells us, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but from the aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It took the blood to redeem us. It took the blood to deliver us. It takes the blood to save us. It takes the blood to wash us and cleanse us. And make us righteous before God. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now let's look at this account in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, because we're going to get some insights about fellowship in blood, okay? So we see that it says here, verse number 3, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, it says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. God wants you full of joy. Even during this time and seasons of stress and strange things happening, God wants you full of joy. Verse 5, this is the message that you've heard from him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Like I said, the Amplified says all sin, its forms and manifestations. Hallelujah. So the Apostle John here is telling us in this epistle, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and is communicating to us loud and clear the importance of remaining in fellowship. Don't break fellowship with the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with fellow believers. See, we are to remain in fellowship. You know, one thought or concept to grasp is where there's fellowship, where the blood flows in fellowship. Just like it flows through your body, because your body parts are in fellowship one with another. And where the blood flows, the Holy Spirit goes. And he brings life and health and resurrection power everywhere they go. So we, as born again, but redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we enter into fellowship with God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. First Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. See, our fellowship with one another is to take place as well. See, God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ didn't save us or redeem us to live independent and isolated and or disconnected lives. We're born for fellowship. We're reborn into the kingdom of God for fellowship. And so we often say this here at Triumph Word Christian Center: your salvation is personal, but not private. So you have to have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but also fellowship with one with another. Because in a body, in your physical body, friends, naturally speaking, the blood flows from part to part every 45 seconds on average. But the blood flows in our fellowship spiritually when we're connected in the body. First to the Lord, first to God, and then with each other. John, by the Holy Spirit, also reveals that this unbroken fellowship with each other is a secondary means of joy, next to being born again and spirit-filled. So again, your salvation is personal. You getting spirit-filled is personal. That's your personal responsibility to be filled with the Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit. But then it's relational responsibility. And it's tied to your secondary source of joy, that your joy may be full. Why? Because you have unbroken fellowship, not just with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ, but with one another. See, our born again, new birth in Christ brings an experience of being baptized into the body of Christ. You become a member of the body of Christ spiritually and legally. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:13. It said, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we all have been made to drink into one spirit. Now, fellowship is a word that describes partnership and covenant. Fellowship is the sharing of heart mutually. It means that we're spirit to spirit firm with God. There's a connectivity. There's a communion. There's a spirit to spirit firmness between me and God. There's no void. There's no vacuum. There's no disconnection. And it also means partnership and covenant. So fellowship means a mutual sharing of hearts, spirit to spirit. It means a partnership. It means a covenant. I hope you're starting to see this now, tied in with the blood of Jesus. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have clear and unbroken fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, its forms and manifestations. Because sin breaks fellowship. Not necessarily relationship, but fellowship. Partnership, covenant, just extrapolated a little bit, means spiritual communion, spiritual connection, and spiritual commitment. Covenant is a big deal with God in relationships because he bases all of his relationships on covenant. He has no casual relationships. He has covenant relationship. One of the things he says to us in the Word of God, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, I'm not going to walk away from you physically, and I'm not going to turn my heart away from you. Emotionally or mentally. That's covenant language. And so as we have fellowship with one with another, we're not only opening up our hearts wide and welcoming each other spirit to spirit, but we're also in partnership with each other. And we're also in covenant with each other. See, just as the blood through our body, naturally, spiritually speaking, the blood of Jesus Christ flows through fellowship. How do we keep the blood flowing? How do we keep the blood of Jesus functioning in all of these seven beneficial areas in our lives? Fellowship. The precious blood of Jesus, the power, the peace, the protection, the promises, all these things function, flow, and flourish through fellowship. Fellowship with our Heavenly Father, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and fellowship one with another. Now let's break down and get a little bit more technical about the chemistry of the blood. Now in Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 16, it says, when I passed by thee, King James Version, original King James, and I saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said to thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. New King James says, and when I passed by you and I saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. Amen. See, the Bible is a book about blood. It's a book of blood. It's a bloody book. We get accused of preaching the gospel of blood, and what's all this blood talk, Pastor? Well, I'm guilty of charge. Because there is a scarlet thread of the blood of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, we see blood being used and shed to cover sin. And we see blood being shed and used and cut covenant in Genesis. And in Revelations, we see them singing about the blood and the robes being washed white and clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. We got to talk about the blood because it's from Genesis to Revelation. It's a bloodline all the way through the Bible. And the Bible declares itself to be a living book. It's the blood that gives life and power to the gospel. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word translated quick just means living or alive. And the word of God is a living word, unlike any other book. This Bible is God talking to us, speaking to us. It's alive. It's full of eternal life. Wholly distinct from other books. And it contains the blood circulating through every page and in every verse. Because the New Testament was ratified, established, made valid, and sealed and confirmed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this is the very life of God. And we said there's divine life in the blood of Jesus. The very eternal life of God is in the ingredients of the blood of Jesus. It's literally the blood of God. Because he was the Son of God. Sinless, spotless lamb. Never loses its power. As the song says. Never loses its efficacy or its effectiveness. The blood of Jesus still works. And it sits on the heavenly mercy seat. One drop of blood is able to wipe out all of sin and Satan's activities and assaults in your life. One drop of blood. See, in the blood of Jesus, there's something that has the power to raise the dead, heal the sick, and wash away and cleanse our sins so thoroughly that God can't even find the stain. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we often say, there is nothing in us that the blood can't cleanse. There is nothing afflicting, infirming, or ailing our physical bodies or our minds that the blood can't cure. And there's nothing that is too destructive or damaging in you or me that the blood can't change or correct. See, without the blood, the Bible would be like any other book and of no more value. The Bible plainly teaches that the life is in the blood. So we must emphasize the fundamental principle found in the Bible. Again, Luke 17:11. This fundamental principle, Luke 17:11. I'm reading out a New Living Translation system. For the life of the body is in its blood. And I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for life. It makes purification possible. Life, that mysterious something that which scientists can never have never been able to really figure out or define or fathom fully, it's said by God that to be the blood of the flesh. And that is so that it can be no life without the blood. Although this is true of all flesh, we are mainly interested in what? Of the human blood, but particularly the body and the blood of the main man, Jesus Christ. Because his blood was not only life, we think of it physically, shedding his blood, but eternal life. As well. Hebrews 9:12-14. Again, read now the New Living Translation. New Living Translation says, and with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered into the most holy place once for all time and secured our eternal, our redemption, how long? Forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from a ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ himself offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. See, the whole plan of redemption rests upon the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's important to point out, medically speaking, that the blood is the only tissue from which is unlimited in its movement within the body. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, but I've been to enough doctor's appointments to know that they always want blood samples. And I've been poked many a time. As a matter of fact, my last appointment, my doctor, new doctor I got, and he sat down and went through all of my tests. You know, they had like 3 or 4 draws, and after the blood work came back, went to the doctor. I went to the doctor, and he went line by line and explained. That all came from my blood. They can tell me about my cholesterol through the lipid panel, and they can tell me about blood sugar. They can tell you about your filtration rate on your kidneys and how that works, and they can do bam, 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 your vitamin levels and this levels. You know, all of that comes from your blood work. Well, what's the ingredients in the blood of Jesus? Well, we're giving you 7 big ones. That's the preciousness and the power of the blood. But they say about the blood, it's unlimited in movement within the body. Almost all other body tissues are fixed, such as muscle, bone, nerve, fat, and skin. I think we all can agree with that. They remain where they are. But the blood is the only tissue which is not fixed, but circulates through the body to every living cell. There are other fluids, products of the body, such as saliva and gastric juices, tears, and bile. But these are not tissues, but secretions. And they are not parts of the body, but products of that body. The blood alone is the liquid tissue that can reach every single cell in the body and therefore unites all the members with the head and the individual members as well. Now, do you see a picture of this spiritually? Hallelujah, how the blood unites us and connects us, and the blood circulates through our fellowship, unbroken fellowship, one with another. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Now, simply stated, the blood consists of liquid vehicle called plasma, a colorless liquid in many, which is suspended in various cellular elements in which it are founded the solution of a great many chemical compounds. The solid part of the blood consists mainly of 3 kinds of cells. These are called platelets, and forgive me if I mispronounce any of these. Thin, transparent cells, those function and still quite obscure. Then there are red cells in the concentration about 5 million per cubic millimeter. That's a lot of red blood cells. And these are the cells which carry fuel to the tissues and form a combined oxygen which gives the blood its red color. There are also white cells. And it's a fancy word. I won't try to pronounce it. Just like the red blood cells. Of which there are several kinds which have to do particularly with the defense of the body in combating infections. Now, think about the blood of Jesus as I'm talking about this natural blood components. You got the blood of Jesus bringing you oxygen to your soul and to your spirit. And you got the white blood cells and the blood of Jesus defending you from infections, incursions and interference from the enemy and from sin. See, these elements in solution provide the clotting of the blood when an artery or vein is severed, and the antibodies prevent diseases. Now, if you believe this, you'll agree with me that Christ is our sufficient and satisfying supply of life. Wherever we go, wherever we're at, the blood will never lose its power. Even in that song, there's so much truth. It says it reaches to the highest, where? Mountain. And to the lowest, what? That means no matter how high you go or how low you get, the blood of Jesus will give you strength. When? How long? From day to day. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank God for the blood. I mean, if you're out there, just lift your hands and thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's close with this thought. This thought. As essential as then as the blood is to our body, so essential is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to the body of Christ. It's essential. We can't forget about the blood. We cannot just leave the blood on the shelf when we got viruses and diseases and pestilence coming at us. We got to plead and apply the blood regularly. And as we said Sunday in our communion services, in the Old Testament, they applied it through hyssop, which was a bowl and a little brush-like device with the blood of animals, and they put it on the doorpost and or sprinkled the blood over the people. We do it with the hyssop of our tongue. If you never speak the blood, if you never pray the blood, if you never acknowledge the blood, the blood will never be applied to your life. And it must be done with the foundation of faith in the blood. That's why Monday night we gave you all those scriptures. Why? Because you need to have faith in the blood to activate it, to operate it effectively and optimally in your life. So the body of Christ, I'll say it again, as essential then as the blood is to our bodies, so essential is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to the body of Christ. It too is fluid so that it can reach every single member that the body, no matter how far those members may be removed from one from another, just as the body supplies the food elements for nourishment and life, then carries off the waste products and poisons due to cell metabolism, so too, listen to this, the Lord Jesus Christ is to every believer the only source of life, the only source of support and sustenance of life, but also the one who keeps cleansing us day by day so that our eternal life is really eternal. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Its forms and its manifestation. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. See, what the blood is to our bodies does for us in times of danger and attack, the precious blood of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, does for each and every believer. It is the connection we must quote from the passage of Revelations 12, 11 and 12, which we started with. And I heard with a loud voice saying in heaven, now it comes salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, that means he's a prosecuting attorney. Now, what does the devil accuse you of? Well, he says he accuses them before God day and night. What is he accusing us of? Well, typically, of sin. Because he knows sin is a bad deal. It's a deal breaker in heaven. And the enemy, this word accuser, means prosecuting attorney. Think of it conceptually as a prosecuting attorney. He's running up accusing you of, you don't have a right to bless Brother Ed. You don't have a right to heal Brother Ed. You don't have a right to redeem him from this situation. Because of sin. Look, he sinned. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the what? The blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but what? And he draws you into the courtroom of God and the courtroom of heaven before God. And then then they ask you, how do you plead? And then you just say, I plead what? The blood. Because God is God who justifies. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. He is the mercy seat for our sins. When we sin, we have a means to receive, reinstate our redemption and receive forgiveness. That means wipe it all away and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. Because you don't want unbroken, you don't want broken fellowship. Praise God. Tell us, shout hallelujah out there if you want to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said he was accused before God day and night, that they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I know this refers to literally to the nation of Israel during the tribulation period, but it also applies to us as well today. It belongs to us. Come on, say this with me. Say, God is on my side, for the blood has been applied. Every need shall be supplied. Nothing shall be denied. So I enter into rest. I know that I'm blessed. I have passed the test. I will get God's best. Now say this with me. Ms. Trina Hankins, Pastor Trina Hankins did that a long time ago. We still use it. It's such a beautiful expression and declaration of faith in the blood. Now Sister Grace Ryerson Roos said it this way. Say this with me. The blood of Jesus purges me from every defilement of the enemy. The blood of Jesus keeps and guards me. My mind, day and night, the blood of Jesus prevents deception and aborts every attempt of the enemy to deceive me. The blood of Jesus is my divine covering and protection against all the fiery darts of the evil one. The blood of Jesus is alive. So full of life and grace. It perfects that which concerns me, reconciling everything in me to the perfect will of God every day and in every way, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, domestically, and financially. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus in my life and over my family. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you just receive the blood. His blood applied to your heart. And just say that with me. Say it out loud with me. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I come to you, God, with all of my heart. With all of my life, I give my whole self to you. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried and God raised him from the dead. And through him, I can be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my personal Savior. Receive me, Jesus. Take all of me, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for forgiving me. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I thank you, Father, that I'm washed in the blood. I'm redeemed by the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you've said that prayer, if you've prayed that prayer, reach out to us. We want to connect with you and follow up with you and pray for you further and just celebrate and rejoice with our new brother or new sister in Christ. And so you can reach out to us at connect@twcc-sa.org. I think it may be on the screen. Or you can text us and let us know, give us your name, email, or some way to get in contact with you so we can support you and serve you the best way we can. Hallelujah. If you're close, you can come to our church and be a part of our church. And of course, or you can, if you're far, we'll still reach out to you. We have technology. We have means and methods to get to you. So reach out to us by text at 210-941-3322. God bless you, Facebook friends, family.